Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Complete Musician Podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm James.
And we are here to bring you another one of our shorter segments, our 15-minute segment. We don't have intro music for this, do we?
No, we don't. But if we did, what would it be?
If we did,
besides Journey's Call, which is for the podcast.
Right. It would be Colton snoring and one of your little toy pianos and a beautiful rendition of some kind of lyrical melody off of that.
Okay, well, we could do the third of those three. I'll let you come up with something.
Great.
And then
okay.
Maybe just randomly sprinkle it in the episode instead of putting it at the front.
Perfect. And it'll just be background. Fantastic. Okay, we will get that done. Great. Wonderful. So today is our 15-minute one. But first, before we get into that, how are you doing?
Good. Better. Life has ups and downs and sicknesses and storms and all kinds of excitement. So, TGIF, which is the day that we're recording this podcast, not the day we're releasing it, but.
And literal storms. It's been pretty crappy weather outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's still crappy weather outside.
Right. Indeed. Yeah. Yes. How about you? How are things going for you?
Things are good. I feel you on the illness thing, although I was not, I think, as ill as you were. I have had weird, like, throat sinusy things, like allergies that have happened for, like, it's been like 3 weeks. Earlier this week, I completely lost my voice. And you know how much fun it is to lecture on days where you have no voice.
Oh, that's yes. It's naturally.
Great. It's come back a bit, but it's still a little odd. And I don't know what it is. I'm hoping all of this like inundation like washes away the allergies, but I don't know. It's been really weird.
I think that's how it works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the worst part of mine was that I had to this past week solo on my Harvest Light and prior to that, take 5 days off the horn, not by my choice. So,
yeah.
You know, we've talked about how to get back in shape quickly on this podcast before, like I think a couple times. Yeah. And so I definitely used those steps, those lots of little mini practice sessions, low to high, soft to loud, and brute forced my way back into shape in like 3 days.
Well, the good thing is that whoever that composer is who wrote Harvest Light, he did it pretty smart, so it's it lays really
slurred
beautifully on
everything.
The horn, so I find when you're sick with stuff that's like congestion, that taking things that dry, like medicine that dries you up, is like the absolute worst. So you have to be really judicious about how you do that. You know, I remember the last time I had sinusy things, I took like I don't know, some antihistamine, and then it, like playing was a nightmare.
Oh gosh.
Right. Was like, wow, I have no moisture at all.
None.
It's none at all.
Nope.
So there's a lot of dry plague, or a lot of dry whiffing, I guess you would say.
Air muffins.
A lot of air muffins. Yep. Right. I baked a lot of air muffins. But anyway, no one cares about that.
What I assume that's not our topic for today.
No, it is not. It is not. Today, are you ready with the timer?
Yeah, I do. I am.
Fantastic. Is it the same sound
I
as last time?
I don't remember what last time was, but I don't think so. I think this one is called Reflection.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to go.
So I'm ready to go.
Okay, whenever you press start.
Three, two, one, go.
All right, so today is situational. So here's the question. Let's say that you are a composer. I know you don't know what that means, but you are a composer and you
it's
are
a good
asked,
hypothetical.
Yeah. The situation is someone tells you that they need to have a horn and piano piece written in 2 weeks, and they need it to be performable in 2 weeks. Okay, that means you have to write it, prepare it. You have to accompany on it too, and you have to have it ready in 2 weeks. So composing in a very limited time frame. What is your first steps in doing this?
The first step is to tell yourself that you don't have time to think. And that is something that I learned when I wrote a lot of commercial music where they need the music by yesterday. And so you work on intuition and you just go, okay, this is what it's going to be. And you just start writing and you don't edit. You just keep going. And because you don't have time. Yeah. Or the, you know, note vomit through composed, same difference. So you just, you trust your intuition and you don't try to write a masterpiece. You just do what you know best and you know you can do the fastest. That's my first thought.
Yeah. How, okay, so like initial first steps, like you're right, it is note vomit, but how do you even go about getting set up to do that? Like, because there's a whole lot of, you know, stuff you have to think about before you even start note vomiting. Like, you have to think about all these decisions. So how do you even do that?
That's a good question. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before, like those initial inspiration things. And I'd be curious to hear what you have to say. But lately for me, it's actually sitting at the piano because I want to create sounds. I don't want to just necessarily think sounds, but I want to create sounds. And so I just pick, what kind of mood am I going for? Like, that's it. What kind of mood? Is it happy? Is it sad? Is it contemplative? Is it mysterious? And by this point, you know, we have certain chords and modes and sounds that we associate with those things. And so you just plunk your hands down on the piano and see what happens. And then write it down and then just keep going.
We've always said that composition is just written down improvisation.
Correct.
And that is
spontaneous.
It's great.
Yes, and improvisation is spontaneous, unwritten composition, right?
Yes. It, maybe that's what I meant, but I said it the other way. Although it
and
works,
it still
right?
works. Yeah.
Okay, great.
It does.
So you've established your mood and your style and all that. Well, maybe not even style, but at least mood in that. Mm-hmm. How do you come up with the rest of it? Because there's the nuts and bolts, you know, like the musical elements that all have to be defined before you even sit down at Sibelius, since we're Sibelius users, before you do that. So how do you do that? True. Is it just like you're like, well, it's just going to be in 3-4 and I'll make it work? Or is it like, oh, it's going to be E major, I'm going to make it work? Or is it like there's a thought process behind that?
Sometimes, yeah. I think early on, it's helpful to have all of those decisions. You know, like we've talked about this before, how to start composition is you determine what your the range of the solo part's going to be. You determine what key, you determine how long, you determine every element that you necessarily can that would be helpful. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you and I, we're at a certain point where we don't necessarily need to do that. It happens organically. Mm-hmm. But I would say if you're writing something that needs to be performed very quickly, it would be probably a good idea to think about playability. Like, what is a good and a bad key for horn as far as intonation or finger crossings or stuff? So like, what if we just do E flat major or B flat major? Like, you'll be just fine. Or F major. Those are probably the easiest keys for horn and the best sounding. So I might start something in those keys and then you never know where the piece will lead you to. And then naturally, as far as the piano part, I think we're similar in that we basically write to our own ability as pianists, or maybe slightly above.
So slightly above is the very the honest truth.
Yes. So it's not so much a worry about making something too complex, but not feeling like you need to impress or do too much flash, but just focus on melody. Just write a good melody and then go from there. So that's kind of what I think about these days. And especially because the thing I find most interesting in writing now is writing a simple melody, but then finding ways to make it harmonically really cool. So that essentially the solo player doesn't need to worry about complexity. It's the pianist that adds this layer of interest through harmony.
Yeah.
But what about you?
The situation just again, the whole question comes from like when you have to do, like, that's a really unrealistic thing, is to say like 2 weeks write a horn and piano piece and then do it.
Extraordinarily unrealistic, but it did happen. It does sometimes happen, especially if you forget things.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the commercial music thing, because that, I mean, you have had to do that, and you have had to turn around things. I'm glad you brought that up, because you've had to turn around music, you've told me, in like less than 24 hours with edits that they send you, and it's right. like, and it's crazy, and like really, that's like harrowing in terms of like time constraint. But
yeah,
there have been, but there have been times that I know, you know, that I've had presented with me where I've had to write very, very, very quickly, or arrange very, very quickly. This kind of comes off of my arranging classes that I teach. And all of the things that you were saying is a really fantastic way for anyone listening. If you have to do something compositionally creative in a really short time frame, then all these decisions you make before you even start putting notes down are so helpful. The process of deciding, I think mood and style is just huge. And like you said, each mood, style, mode even has a certain characteristic, or has a notion that we think of emotion that goes along with it. And it also, I think, is accompanied by some of those musical elements of chordal choice and articulation choice and even melodic contour that goes with everything associated with that particular genre or style. Even accompaniment instrumentation can be really important there too. And I know we were talking, like, I said horn and piano, but I like what you said about finding sounds, because I think, I don't know if you're similar, this is interesting, I don't know if I've ever literally asked you this. When you are doing composition stuff and you have decided, like, even if you're writing horn and piano or for horn ensemble or whatever, if you've got a style or a genre that you're writing, and you, even if you're working with an ensemble, do you hear in your head, because I think we hear the music in our head before we start putting notes down. Right, like we hear something, like a semblance of it. Do you hear it?
Everyone does. Everyone has music in their head. It's just they don't necessarily have the skills to quickly and accurately notate it.
Right. Do you hear it in the context of the people you're writing for, or do you hear it in general? Because I think one of the cool things is when you take a style or a genre of music that has totally different connotation with it and put it into like a different instrumental thing, you know, like, or a different, like different mediums, right, than it's originally intended for. Like, I mean, honestly, when I think of like fripperies, like jazz, or, you know, quote unquote jazz done, like jazz has a certain set of chords, a certain style, a certain instrumentation with it. So it just makes me wonder, like when Lowell Shaw was doing that, up in good old Buffalo, New York, do you think that he was hearing jazz, like band accompaniment ensemble in the background of his mind? Or do you think he heard it in the context of horn?
That's a great question. I'd be curious to know that answer. I know for me, I try to visualize, and by visualize, I mean, you know, audiate the ensemble I'm writing for. So it's one of those things where you can just take it's a thought experiment where you close your eyes and you imagine you're sitting in the audience at the premiere of this new piece. You're like, okay, so I'm in the audience. What do I hear?
Yeah.
And what that is what you start working on.
That is like the final step I think of, honestly. That's interesting you said in the beginning, because I think of that as almost like a final step. And maybe that's part of your final step too. Like when I'm done with a composition, I try to remove myself from composer, performer, and make myself audience member in that little three-way triangle of what creative performance is, and think about, if I've never heard this before, like what is occurring to me in terms of the emotions, the music that's being presented, which helps so much with things like pacing and with like, you know, dynamic tiering, and with, especially if you're writing for more than just two players, like we were talking about, in terms of balance and all of that.
Sure. I mean, with notation feed, like MIDI playback and stuff, I think we have the advantage of not having to necessarily do that step. But I'm thinking back to the history of majority of composers that wrote for full groups, but on a score at a piano. I can't assume they didn't hear the orchestration, the full thing, and then just write the core components.
It's so impressive to me that they did that, right? Like that they had nothing in front of them. It's just like, right, the music in their head that they were somehow able to translate. But then we know at some points that that didn't always translate. And they made mistakes too in their own writing. Like I'm playing West Side Story right now, and there's that part in the trumpets that second trumpet goes into D for all of those really high screamy solos. It's written for D trumpet. And it's like, why? That's ridiculous. The rest of the show is B flat. There's no point in that. And I looked it up and found out that Lenny decided that he wanted D trumpet because he wanted like a higher piercing kind of sound. And then they got to the first rehearsal and read, and he went, nope, that was garbage, trash, throw it away, play it under B flat.
Right.
Or play it on another instrument. I don't want the D trumpet. But of course, did they ever republish it? No, it's still D trumpet in the part. So the players just have to deal. But, you know, it's funny because he heard that kind of sound, but when it came to actually putting it down, it was not what he wanted at all.
And I think they still do that in film scoring a lot too, or like traditional, where they'll have several different orchestrations for the same cue, and they'll just try different stuff just because the speed of the whole writing process, you don't get that chance to kind of second guess yourself. I was thinking of another analogy that to this whole process is something public speaking. And or even let's just take this podcast, right? So when we started, we sat down together, we talked, we scripted out, and then we recorded, and then we recorded like section by section, and then we edited it all together, right?
No one can see. That was like cringing so hard.
Yeah, you can go back and listen. I would recommend you don't. But
no.
So that was, you know, trying to make as many decisions beforehand. But then as you get comfortable with the language and the process, so now we just load up, you know, the recorder, and essentially we improvise. But because you have that experience and you know how things function, you can still make a quality product, I guess, asterisk, depending on your point of view, quality product. That's more or less just something that's spontaneous, and you just trust your instincts.
Yeah. It's just the whole process of, you know, going quickly creating something is fascinating to me, because I think it really hits on like our innermost being. It's like exactly what you said. There are sounds and chords and things that not only do we have notions about, but we have love of. And so I think, especially when you write quickly, what is most important to you as a musician, and what's like literally in your like musical mind and heart, come through even more so, which is why I really love teaching my arranging class, because they have to write pretty quickly for each of like their arranging assignments. Like there's a number, you know, there's weeks between them. I have larger and smaller ones in terms of like the size and scope of what they have to do, but it's not too big a turnaround. I mean, it's 16 weeks of a semester, right? And so it's so
pretty quick.
Yeah. And so that element of composition, that you have to do it quickly, I think really reveals who you are as a musician and what you love. And I think that's really special.
And the final thing I'll say is that if you ever get stuck, or in order to generate more of that, what's going in your head, you just have to listen to more music. It's as simple as that. The more you listen to, the more ideas you'll have and the more you can pull from.
Yeah.
So, and there's our time.
Did it really just go off just like that?
just like that.
Perfect. Yes. Guys, we are nailing this format. I'm just letting you know. It is like, we are nailing it. Okay. Anyway, that was just a fun thing I wanted to talk about for a bit. And some of those things we've never talked about before. Not really.
Right. inspiration is a very interesting thing. It's a personal journey, but I think it's also something that you can help people discover what works for them.
Yeah, agreed. Well, anyway, thank you all for listening. We'll be back next time we podcast, feasibly next week, if you know, people have power and stuff. I think it's supposed to rain here like for all next week. Yeah, and questions. Listen, people, we want to answer your questions, and we will. Mm-hmm. And there have been great mm-hmm. ones, and especially the last one. We talked about Smash Bros, and that was awesome. And we can talk about Smash Bros more if you really, really want us to. But we have other, I mean, there are other video games out there we'll talk about too. So
that's it. Yep, this is now transforming into a video game podcast.
But yeah, if you have musical questions about, even about like something we just talked about, because I think that what we just did was like, we did talk a little bit about like some specific things, but then we gave some like really overarching things that in 15 minutes, sure. It's like, you can't hit everything. So if you have questions about anything we just did, that can absolutely be part of the Q&A. Or if you want to know like what our favorite, you know, Coke Zero adaptation flavor is, then you can ask us that too. And we'll have some answer.
That's right. If you want to ask Drew about what his opinions are on the new Oreo flavored one, that could be a question.
I have an opinion, and I'll wait for someone to ask, because I definitely have an opinion. So anyway, thank you guys for watching. You can contact us on all of our socials.
Wait, hold on. People are watching this? Oh no.
Wait, what did I say?
You thanked everyone for watching.
Oh my god. No, you're not watching. Which is great, because you're not watching. We don't need
you are imagining in your mind's eye that we're in a very high-tech podcasting studio, not something that's just slapped together.
Absolutely not. Thank you for listening and visualizing whatever you think we look like, if you don't know what we look like, which would be mm-hmm. very strange if you thought we were like two turtles or something. But regardless,
Especially since the cover of our podcast is a picture of who we are.
Well, you know, people don't have to, they don't look at that all the time. They just, whatever. Thank you for listening. Contact us on our socials. Our question boxes for the Q&A will be on our socials. You can email us and get in contact with us. You know how to do it. So thank you for listening, and we will be back next week.